Okay, this is Monday, December 22nd, and this is questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As usual, it's so nice to see so many gods and goddesses in one room. What I would like to do right now at this very moment is a treatment for the holiday for each and every one of you. So let's take a moment and know this. During this holiday season, during this festive season, we are delighted and absolutely thrilled to be alive, to be able to participate in this thing called life. Each and every one of us is learning that life is a gift, a marvelous gift. And we are going to use that new idea of life throughout the coming year. We are going to allow ourselves to open to receive all the energy, all the wisdom, and all the intelligence that is in the universe. We are part of that universe. Therefore, we can do this. We can open our minds and we can open our hearts so that we see things differently. In this season, we can give up all the old, all the limitations that we think we have. And we remind ourselves that we are completely unlimited. We are working with the universe. And it is working with us. And we know that. And that's what we bring in to the new year. We make our life new. This thing that we call God makes all things new. And right here and right now, we are making ourselves new. We are giving up any idea, any concept, any belief that is no longer serving us. We are going to bring into the new year a whole new person. We have the potential to do that. And we do that right here and right now. So that in the new year, we experience abundance and prosperity, health and wealth of all kinds. We now know that life is wonderful. That life is not the struggle that so many people think it is. It is a glorious, wonderful, marvelous process that we are participating in. And we allow this thing called God to operate in as and through us, to remove any blocks from our mind, from our consciousness, that is keeping us from knowing how powerful we truly are. We are powerful human beings, and we bring that power in to the new year so that we no longer suffer from all the illusions of the world. We see clearly now. We see that we are part of the whole thing, and that makes us feel good. Life is wonderful. We are wonderful. And we let that be so. And so it is.
So it is.
Questions? Answers? Sue, you had a question?
Well, I'm quite formulated.
Oh, you haven't quite formulated it. Well, you had all week.
I'm thinking about it. It'll come to me.
Oh, well.
I have an idea.
Does anyone have a question?
Okay, I'll just throw something out. That's one reason I like this fur piece right here.
No.
Perfect for what I was going to ask. Talk about my cat. I don't know if I brought up my cat at all, but I have an 18 and a half year old cat who's on its last legs, and I'm having a lot of trouble dealing with it. And the idea, I've never had to euthanize anything, any animal in my life, or I just having a really hard time to getting to the point of mentally. I mean, in my mind, I'm killing a creature of this earth, and I'm just sort of struggling with this whole inner battle about it. And I walk around my apartment all every day with the cat following me, looking up at me helplessly, wanting something from me I can't give her. She's had her son with her for 17 years, and they're just side by side. And so I'm feeling like, oh my God, and now I got to. When she dies, then her son's going to be in a depression. And it's like I'm totally distraught about this whole thing with my cat. And part of it is because, I'll finish just briefly, I got the cat when my son was 10. And my son was a very quiet, withdrawn, shy kid. And he attached to this cat. Well, he slept with this cat every night for 13 years. And it really help was a company and he's close to this cat. He's in Japan, and so we've been talking about it, and he's just devastated about this cat too. So we cry on the Skype about the cat and all this. So I don't know how to deal with this emotionally. It's just every time I go home, it's just there it is. I don't know how to accept that it's up to me to say, this is the end of your life. And to actually go and
have it euthanized.
Go do this.
Would the cat be happy or probably euthanized? Is it in pain?
That's what one doesn't know.
But what you have to do is sit down and give thanks and be thankful that you had that cat for 18 years. And think of all the joy and happiness that cat has brought you and your son. And then you have to remind yourself that the cat is going to make a transition does not mean that the cat is dead. It has just made a transition. It is transformed into something else. And it has gone back, you see, and something wonderful, and then the cat will appear. You wait and see. But you have to sit down, you see, you're a puppet of your conditioning, and you're going through all this grief and so forth, which is unnecessary. It's horrible. I'd hate anything to happen to my little thing. But I have to say thank goodness that I had it for all this time.
Yes.
And it gave me joy and pleasure, and think of all that stuff.
Well, and I think about the joy that the cat has given us. And of it. She's had a joyful life.
Yes.
Her son has been by.
Absolutely. So there's a rewarding life. And
to see her deteriorating, it's almost like I hate you. It's a person. I had to pull the plug on my mother.
Right.
And it's almost like I would rather remember my cat as a healthy cat than seeing it starving to death.
Well, yes.
Which is what it's doing now.
Right. So you can assist the cat with its transition. Doesn't mean you pulled the plug. What a horrible thing to say.
Well, that's, like you say, that's kind of what I was taught. That's the society told
yeah,
was the word.
Puppet of your conditioning.
Yes. That's true.
Well, now why don't you say, I'm not going to be a puppet of my conditioning. I'm going to be joyful that I had the cat for 18 years, and I'm going to help this cat make its transition. I'm going to ease its pain, ease it. That doesn't mean that you're mean or horrible. It means you were a nice person.
Did I get good by the cat?
Yes, you did good by the cat.
My son says I did a good job raising the cats like they were children.
Yes, well, you did do a good job raising them.
Because if they're this old, I did.
Mm-hmm. So don't be.
I'm going to use the word transition. I'm going to tell my son, because he wanted me to talk about this too, actually, today.
Well, the cat is going through a process, and the process it's going through right now is a process of transition. It's going to transform into something else. You see, we want to have both. We want to have the cat alive. Well, the cat's not going to live. But it doesn't mean that the cat died.
So to extend that, same with us.
The same with people, absolutely. If there's only one life, the life of God, in the cat, in you, in the dogs, in the trees, the rocks, everything.
I wrote something about this last week, that I want to be an oak tree when I die, so I can be the home to all the squirrels and the birds, owls, for hundreds of years.
There you go.
I think that would be just a lovely thing to transform into. I hadn't really connected it with my cat, exactly. But, yeah. Maybe the cat will be a squirrel running around.
Yeah, absolutely.
A tree.
Don't be sad. Be happy. Be joyous. 18 years that cat gave to you.
A long time. I mean, that's a quarter of your life.
Well, I know.
It's more than half of my son's life, so it's...
Well, like that, yeah.
We know some people that lost their son recently.
Oh, God.
But they're okay. I know, but it's okay. Because their son was had Down syndrome, was autistic, and he passed when he was, in his teens.
Yeah.
And but he wasn't supposed to live that long ago, and they're doing okay.
Right.
And you really see if they keep going back to that. We had him for 18 years, and we're really grateful for that. Plus, it was a lot of work, And Jared and Kat's getting to be a lot of work too.
Yeah.
So be grateful.
Thank you. I have a her son.
Oh.
But I don't think another cat's gonna quite
love
have that connection with.
Maybe a kitten. So the
kitten would be me. Yeah.
I've heard it said by people who have experienced, their pets passing that they've actually talked to their animals, their pets, and talked to them about it and asked for a sign for when they knew it was time to go.
That's,
and that the pet would let them know.
That's what I want.
Because, there's the balance of how much pain she's in and how much, it's like, she'll let you know.
Yes. I pray for that. That's the main thing I pray for every day, is to know when. Because she's still her, if I put her on me. And she's still her son is still by her side, giving her a bath. But she can't eat. She looks up at me and I put the food down and she just, because her teeth are all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
So she can't, it hurts to eat. So she just stares at this food. But there's still a little joy.
Give her cream.
But I can't, you know. Pray for her to tell me.
I think he was saying, ask her.
Ask
her. You.
Yes. Because that's really, that's a good thing.
Oh, this is a little question. I lately have been replacing some of my negative thinking with positive thinking. Yes. Thank you. And I'm just curious, it's not a big deal, but where do the negative thoughts even come from?
We live, move, and have our being in negative thoughts. It's from the world itself. We're always moving in and out of thought atmospheres, and we pick up all this stuff, and we think all this stuff is true, and it is absolutely not true. So in your mind, when you hear that in your mind, you must correct it. You must stop it. You can do that. You know when you're thinking negatively. So you change it. You say, I don't want to do that. And replace it. You can only think one thought at a time. I don't care what anyone says that they, oh, I have so many thoughts in my head. Well, you don't. You can only think one at a time. So learn to think the thought that you want to think. That's the power that you have. See, you can change your mind right away about your cat if you want to, but you don't want to.
Change my mind?
Yes, you can change your mind and say, this is a wonderful event. I'm watching this cat go through its transition. I'm delighted this cat's been with me for 18 years. I'm not one bit sad about this. This is part of life. This is how life works.
Yes, I do.
But race mind got to you and told you, oh, you have to be sad and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
You see, when I die, I'm going to put my announcement in celebrations in the paper, not in an obituary.
Mm-hmm. Is there such a place?
Well, there has to be. But you have to celebrate. Yes, do.
I want to share this with the group. I have an uncle who died, and before he died, he wrote letters to all the people that he loved, sealed them and put stamps on them, and had a member of our family mail them to us once he died. And when I got my letter, it was as though he was there speaking to me. It was just so beautiful. And for him to think that far ahead and to send it to all of his favorite relatives, I thought that was commendable. Just wanted to share.
That's wonderful. We were taught that when I was a child, and we went to funerals all the time. I mean, I came from a family that's very old. And we went to all these funerals all the time. But those people cried and carried on and did all that kind of stuff. Oh, because I was too small to know. I had made up my mind. I'm not going to cry at funerals and stuff. But I'm going to be happy for the person. That person is involved in a whole new and different life, the same way your cat is going to be involved in a whole new and different life. Well, that's what you have to do. Yes.
I'm just kind of curious, where did this whole notion that when you die, it gets all over, where did that come from? You know?
No, I don't exactly know that, but it isn't that I don't know what culture or something you're thinking of, because most cultures, take the Egyptians and all, they believed in the afterlife. China believed in the afterlife. So many people believe that there's an afterlife.
Well, Christianity certainly does.
Well, Christianity believes in an afterlife.
Yeah.
But Christianity, I don't know, I think I've told you this before, but the problem with Christianity is it's not a life-affirming religion. It does not affirm life. It affirms death. And that you're much better off when you die because you're going to go be with God. The most ridiculous thing in the world. You're always with God. But to be waiting around for that to happen, thinking, oh, when I get to heaven, then I'm going to start to live, is ridiculous. She's got drops.
No, I started drinking his drink.
I know.
This is awfully cold. It's so cold. I'm sorry.
That's right.
I think that thing's alive.
Sorry.
Andy? Question.
I was just thinking about, you know, like the evolution of the development of mankind on Earth, and like, you know, when religions, you know, early on, you know, before it was called religions, you know, people had these ideas that, like, you know, they would go to the spirit in the sky, but. But before that, you know, as man was developing, like, and who knows at what point consciousness took hold, you know, or like, you know, like I imagine early on, like before that, there was just a sense of like this was it, you know, like
if the whole sense was survival, that's what it was. We're talking about cavemen, Neanderthal,
yeah.
And all of those developmental stages of man.
Yeah.
I think their main concern was survival.
So I think from that standpoint, there was probably always just a sense of this is all there is. But now there are beliefs that there is else.
But there's still that belief out there that this is all there is. That's what most people on this plane of action are doing. They think, well, this is it, this is all. Once I die, there's nothing left. You know, your consciousness never dies.
Christians believe there's an afterlife.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Well, I think most religions
do. I think so too.
Mm-hmm.
But she's talking about evolution. It's kind of, why do you think it is that man was put here and then we had to evolve? You know, we came from being a Neanderthal to, you know, where we are. What's your theory on that?
We had lessons to learn.
I don't know if that's true, but, you know.
I don't know, but consciousness is growing, and it's continually growing. So why, when we were first put here, that we didn't have that, the consciousness or the awareness of things is absolutely beyond me. It's one of those questions I can't answer.
I think we're still evolving.
I think so too.
We've always evolved and we continue to evolve. In another 100 years, who we are today will maybe be foreign to the people.
Right.
In the
absolutely. Because so we're learning to control this thing called mind. We have to be able to control our thinking. We have to be able to control this mind.
Yeah, but the scary thing is that the computer is going to, at some point, going to know more than our minds are.
Never.
But maybe we have to tell it what it knows.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, we'll never take over. The computer can learn a lot of things that can never learn what the human mind can. We cannot. I told you that they say if they built a computer that could do everything that this mind of ours does, it would take up half the United States.
Wow. That's fabulous.
one people. I'm dying up here. I'm making a transition.
So the follow-up question I would have is, like, as religions developed, and most all of them came from the standpoint of, like, you're born and then there's an afterlife. But at some point, some people came up with the idea that, like our soul was here before our earthly bodies came here, and we're just having this human experience, and we'll go back to where we already were. When did that come about, and who came up with those ideas?
I have no idea.
Okay.
We're gonna go back to who we were.
That's all those.
Well, if your soul existed, has always existed, then that this is a physical experience that your soul's having.
Yeah, and they say you'll go back to the Godhead. And we're always trying to get back to the Godhead. We're always moving in that direction. Yes.
Well, I think it's really great, you know, the idea that, like, mankind, with all the problems that we still have today, that we had probably bigger problems before. So as big as we think our problems are today, they're probably far less than the problems mankind had.
We have the exact same problems today as they had before. Ours are just more sophisticated, but it's the same problem. And what is that problem?
We're not worthy.
Separation.
But, you know, it seems to me that as time goes on, you know, and I can't speak for people living in other countries or anything like that, but in my little immediate world, it seems like it's becoming a more God-conscious world. To me, it seems that way. I mean, I know there's still a lot of violence and bombings and still wars and stuff, terrible stuff going on. But I look around my world and the people that I pretty much associate with, and I don't know that I'm not conscious that I choose these people to be around me. They just seem to be there for a myriad of different reasons. Just my little social world, and almost all of my friends, and some of them are suffering in different ways, you know. But I don't know. Maybe it's just getting older too. But it just seems like everybody's slowly in their at their own pace. We're sort of moving in the same direction.
Yes.
Which is towards a more God loving, more God conscious sort of.
I agree.
Life.
But what does the world tell us? Religions are dying. People aren't attending church. That's out there. The people I know go to church. The people I know are spiritual. I draw those people into me. You said in your world. I live in my world. Live in your world. Don't go out and risk that arrest you. We don't need to be out there.
But I see another side of parts that I see are not evolving. They're stuck in the same rut.
Yes.
And I worked in poverty areas most of my teaching career, and that's what I see. They give lip service to believing in God and following the principles, but they're not following the principles.
No, they are not.
There are people who are out there who are still as backwards as they were 50 years ago.
And that will continue. Because if you don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, there's nothing you can do about it. They have to evolve to that point where they open up their minds to something.
That's right.
But they're completely taken in by the culture they're living in. And they are completely puppets. They don't think on their own. They don't have an original thought. And then these institutions and so forth
keep them in place. They keep them there. They don't want them to get out of that situation. And that is why Jesus said the poor will always be among us. He didn't mean poor wealth and all. He meant poor in consciousness. The poor will always be among us. They cannot think for themselves. And they won't. That's what we're here to learn, to think these things through for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll just be going down the same road as those people.
I think it's a world of difference when you work in a certain environment where you don't meet the rest of the world. So you don't have any idea what's going on in the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's right. They say the Watts riots would have never happened if it wasn't for television. Because television showed the poor people all these rich people and all this stuff. They never knew all that stuff existed before television was sending it out. Because if you live in the ghetto and you never see anything but the ghetto, that's all, that's your world. And those people cannot get themselves out of it. And we keep them there. Now when I say we, I mean that culture that they live in. Things cost more in the ghetto. Poor people have to pay more for things. Go to a...
And get less.
Go to one of the little markets in the ghettos. Everything is sky high. Why? Because those people can't even afford to get on a bus and go find something. They have to. So we keep people down. And the whole idea is to lift people up.
I wonder what ghetto we're living in that we don't know about.
We may be, absolutely. There are other realms we don't know. Yes. Which is a very good point. I'm sure some of the people that I know with tons and tons of money, they live in a completely different plane than I live in. And I think I'm doing all right. I'm pleased and glad that I'm not living in a slum or in a ghetto. But there are people that are much... And that's their world. They live in that world. So, make your world what you want it to be, you see.
So how do we elevate ourselves and others?
Well, we elevate ourselves by cleaning up after ourselves. You know, just by cleaning up, by looking around, by keeping your place nice, by doing all that. That's what happens. Those people don't even know how to keep the place nice. Because the next door neighbor is doing the same thing, and they go, well, that's perfect. So the sofa is worn out, or the child urinates on the street, or whatever. Everyone's doing it, so they don't know the difference. They don't know the difference. And we go through that all the time, and I've told this example over and over about welfare and so forth. Welfare keeps people in place. And then somebody comes up and says, I think we should build these beautiful new buildings for all those people and put them in those new buildings. And they do. And all the people get into the new buildings and so forth. And in less than a year, the building looks exactly like the tenement they moved into because they do not know how to do it. And most of them have what we have do not have what we call pride of property. They have no idea what that means. No idea what that means. That you have to get instilled in you at a very early age, pride of property. So it's a big problem. It will be solved one day. I cannot solve it. The only thing I can solve is my own mind. keeping myself from not saying, oh, look at those idiotic people. I do not call them idiotic. I sympathize with them. I have compassion for them. And I see why they are where they are. Can I teach them differently? I doubt that. I doubt that because I'm one person. You can go to school. They can come to school, but then they have to go back home. They have to go back to those places. So they come to school without food. They don't get breakfast.
For the best place they have to go all day.
Yes.
To school, the classroom.
Right. But they go home to that. So it gets instilled in you. If all you see is that, it's very hard for your mind to think, oh, here's something else. Here's something else. I don't think very many people that lived in the ghetto marched themselves through Neiman Marcus. No, I took my manifesting trip on Saturday over to Rodeo Drive and looked around at everything.
They would be
what?
Afraid.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
They would be afraid.
They
would feel out of place. My brother and sister-in-law feel out of place in Beverly Hills. And they're what we would call higher middle class people.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the other reverse. The situation that I've shared, that I had a big house and lots of money and all that, and now I'm living in a place where it's sort of the way you're describing. The people are not the people that I've been around all my life, and it's to try the mind, it's difficult to process that for me. It's not just not having money, because I'm okay with that, but living amongst people that are the way you're describing with the graffiti and the, you know, I mean, I've made my inside of my apartment very lovely, but surrounding me is all of this, the same kind of people, and it's hard to, there's a lesson I keep thinking I'm supposed to learn from this, from why God put me in this place at this time. What am I supposed to learn? And I do believe that. And I've believed that ever since I've been there.
God doesn't put you anywhere, my dear. You put yourself there. You made choices that we do not know. You may not know, and they may have been completely unconscious.
They're out of my control.
There are. Yeah. But you're living in a nice place. You have your...
Yes. But to not... I don't want to say it. Embrace the people around me. And
you don't have to embrace them. You have to set an example. Keep your place clean.
Well, I do that, and I get people saying that they like looking at it through the window.
All right. See, now that helps them. Now they know that there's something else. That's a choice. Then they can say, oh, I did see a nice place. So you're helping them. That's a good one. Yes, go ahead.
Well, I mean, don't you think that, like, I'm just thinking about this ghetto mentality again, and that if you elevate your own consciousness, that people in the ghetto are influenced by that in some way?
Yes.
Even though maybe I don't live in the ghetto.
You set an example. It's all done by example. But it's also done, you have to get the people out of there. If I would have stayed in Pennsylvania, in the land of Nod, I would be just like those people. I would be just like those people. Because that's all I see around me. And they think that's normal, what they're doing. I had an email today from a friend of mine, Leona, who I went to high school with. Her father was a Methodist minister, so she's a minister's daughter. She wrote in all this out, and she was going to blah, 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 and I have to go to the Hershey Medical Center because a friend of mine is in there, and she said, I guess that's what we're looking forward to at our age. Now, that's complete race mind, and she doesn't know. She's a and she p- plays the organ in church every Sunday. Hasn't done her a bad damn bit of good. But that's what everyone in that neighborhood thinks that. They think those things. So you're influenced by it. You have to get out of that influence. And the people in the ghetto have a very hard time getting out. Very hard time getting out. Where are they going to go, you know? Oh, they could move into a better apartment? No, because they don't have the money to be able to do it. They're absolutely stuck where they are.
And often they get angry and they turn it inward and outward.
Well, yes.
Take it out on other people. Because when I had, when I was teaching, there at least once every other year or once a year, there would be some parent that would say, she's a dick. You know, they would try to put me down because of my behavior.
Right.
And I know what that's all about. I mean, that's a problem. They're highly
resentful because they cannot figure out how you got where you got, mm-hmm. and they haven't gotten there, and they don't know how to get there. So now they think, and they get mean.
I've been told talk to the hand many times.
It's difficult. So in the new year, let's know that those people are going to have a epiphany of some sort and be able to get themselves out of the situation that they're in. But the little I know about people in the ghetto and so forth, and especially if they're in welfare, it goes on for generations. And some of them tell their daughter, go ahead and get pregnant, you'll get money.
You know, my daughter is a paramedic, and she picks up people and gets crazy because the people, pregnant women will say to her, well, I'm on my sixth kid because I can get more money. The
yes.
more kids that I have,
absolutely.
You know, I'm working on the next one.
And that's...
They have stopped that.
No, I think it still keeps going. But that's universal, by the way. That just doesn't happen like in Chicago or here in Los Angeles. It's across the country.
Yeah.
It's across the country. Oh, well, I'll get money for having this baby. And then they have no place to live. They have to live with the mother and 13 other kids that... Well, it's absolutely.
Yes.
And the government thinks they can get, you know, they can help. The government thinks they can help by throwing money at the people. The people don't know what the money is. They don't know anything about that money. We have to train people to think differently. We have to train people to have a knowledge of what exactly money is, you see. And they think they're entitled. That's the word. I never in my life till a couple years ago ever heard that, I'm entitled, mm-hmm. or it's an entitlement. I think the government came out with that saying, you're
entitlement.
It's your entitlement. It's not there. You're not entitled to anything, people. You're not entitled to it. You have to work for those things. You have to earn those things. And when you think you're entitled and somebody's just going to give it to you, that doesn't build your character at all.
They said Social Security is an entitlement program, but we worked for our Social Security money.
Is that what they call Social Security?
Yes.
That's just one of those dividing words that the different political parties use to try and make things sound, you know, bad or good.
If you want to get the votes from the welfare people, tell them they're entitled to welfare.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And they do. you know, think they're in, most the generation today thinks they're entitled to.
But I thought they had stopped the entitlement program, and mothers could only have one baby or two babies.
Well,
in the
let's hope
and
so.
They're cut, or they give them a year and then they're terminated. But they are they have tried to do something to deter women from having babies to go off welfare.
Yes.
It's not that much to begin with.
Any no. They, but they, that's why they don't teach contraception. Why don't we teach contraception? Do you remember Joyce? She was a black woman that was the head medical person. What are they called? The attorney?
Surgeon General.
Mm-hmm. She was, do you remember her? Her name was Jocelyn, I believe. She was a black woman. And everyone was thrilled with her till she said something about contraception. And they made her retire, they made her resign.
Well, that's the Catholic Church.
Yep. They made her resign. And she was absolutely right. What we need here is contraception.
Well, at my school, I'm telling you, we had... they didn't work for the school. It was some program. They would come in. I also taught my ESL English, and they would come into my class, and they were acting as social workers, and they would tell the class how they could get welfare. They told them all the loopholes and how to bypass all of them. They also had a special lady come in and talk about contraceptives. And these are predominant, well, they were all Spanish-speaking people. And they were all Catholics. And
oh.
I mean, they were, they were so embarrassed, putting their hands over their mouths.
Of course.
And eyes. Because the lady that was presenting the class was very graphic. She was confidence. She was showing them how to use it and everything, because there's some agency that's trying to curtail the birth rate in the Hispanic community. And I think it's a good thing, because most of them are Catholics, and they just don't stop having babies.
No, because it's a mortal sin.
Yeah. There's a solution somewhere.
There is a solution somewhere. And it starts with us.
They're listening with somebody else.
Yes. You had a question there?
Yeah, the Catholic Church.
What do you think about, Amy and I were talking about this before. I heard the saying, it kind of stuck with me for a while. But you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Wow.
So if you wanted to go in a certain direction, then start spending more time with people in that direction.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Yeah. Yes. You are judged by the people that you hang around, and you learn from the people you hang around. So here again in the ghetto, where there's no one there, they hang around the wrong
with
people.
That's
with
right.
Each
they
other.
Just reinforce the behavior.
Right. If you want to, you know, when we talk about if you want money and so forth, you have to be around people with money and learn from them. How did they do it? How do they use their money? What do they do? But if you don't stay around people, and same way if you want more intelligence, you can't learn something from a stupid person. And everyone, I know people who hang around stupid people. And you can't do any, I mean, I'm not saying they may be nice and all. But you're not going to learn anything from a stupid person. That's all there is to it. It's true. You have to hang around the right people.
People like us.
Yes.
Spiritual people.
Well, spiritual people, intelligent people, people that are open-minded. Otherwise, you're around the same people.
Yeah.
You know, you knew that when you go home, don't you? They all hang around the same people.
That's why I don't go home at all.
No, thank God.
What happened? What?
Well, we come from the area that we come from. It's just, you know, like they live, you live and die, live and die, live and die there, and it's be life like this. The blind is on, and you know, when you go home, it's just like
nothing.
You know, and I've learned, you know, I don't know about you, I go home, I just kind of keep my mouth shut as much as I can and ride the wave and figure I'm in and I'm out and good. And that's it. You know, I cause ripples in their pond.
I always say I'm going home on a fact-finding mission.
What, are you in the same?
Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. Fact-finding mission?
Fact-finding missions. That's what I come on.
So it's important about that, not making ripples. It's important to just sort of be quiet when people, you know, when you're around people that are just can't really understand what you're talking about anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I learned that. I mean, it's just why.
Yeah.
Put my viewpoint on to them. They're never going to understand it. And I'm in and out, and why cause their life, well, it's turmoil, so I just kind of...
It's the idea of why do you, would you want to throw pearls in front of swine? That's true. Well, that's in the Bible, by the way.
Well, I'm not as good as you. I do confront some of mine.
Well, you can confront them every once in a while. Well, I do too, every once in a while.
No.
I was dog walking with my friend Ruth, and she said something about, I'm poor. I said, would you stop saying that? You are not poor. I am, I don't mean it. I said, well, then stop saying it. I don't like to be out with people who say they're poor. She's not poor. But she thinks she's poor, so she might as well be poor. Any other questions, young people? It's going to be the new year when we see each other next. If you want
to hear about it. And
the theme for January is going to be, do you hear what I hear?
Yeah, so that'll be when? January 5th?
Okay. I have no idea. Don't care.
First Monday in January.
I just show up.
Oh, I'm the
That's true.
I know.
All right, then.
So
thank you.
We're not meeting next week? No.